It's on now, huh? Now y'all got it. Yeah. How's everybody? Blessed and greatly favored. Is that what y'all say? Y'all just keep adding sentences to them, don't you? Holy Ghost fire. Let me see. I got to turn this internet off so it won't be bugging y'all. There. Got it. All right. So this is school, right? Mainly, ain't this who y'all are? School? Bible college? What do y'all call it? Bible college? All right. Gotta get the terminology right. I'll get stones thrown at me. I'm pretty good at getting people mad regardless of Holy Ghost. Okay, here's how it's going to go. I don't know the schedule, so I'm just going to act like I know what I'm doing. I never have been nervous. There's a couple of things came to my mind while we was singing, and so we'll talk about some of that. I'm going to make myself vulnerable to you. I don't know you, but I'm not nervous about it. Cause I know how to walk out the door and get in my truck and leave if I want to, so. I assure you I'm a grown man. I can do that. I'm not under any compulsion or pressure, so. But I want to help cause I can. I am equipped. I'm a good soldier. I know what I'm doing. I have figured out a couple of things that work. I stay away from things that don't work. I'm not under any pressure to perform for somebody. The only performance I'm going to do is for God. All right. So that's the right way to be. What I'm going to do is y'all be thinking about it. I'm going to go over a couple of verses, here because I want to. And then, we'll do a session of, questions. If you got any questions, you may not have any. You probably do though. I still have questions. And I'm eighth generation. I've been doing this for 40 years, but I still have questions. But I have some answers too, so there you go. And if I don't have an answer, I'm sure y'all can find some Bible college professor to give you some theological doctrinal solution. Holy Ghost. You know, one of my favorite things to do that I get to do in the world, which now I'm preaching in every continent. Well, it's like 80 nations. It's a big deal. I act humble and all that. It's not an act, but I can turn on energy. I just prefer not to anymore. I used to think that's how you run things, but I was wrong about that. The right way is the humble way. I learned that from my Indian brothers that I work with. They're humble people. They've been oppressed. You Europeans came 700 years ago and stole their land from them, killed and raped and burned them. And so they've been in oppression ever since then, forced religion down their throat that don't work. Then you mix your religion with witchcraft. And so it's kind of a mess out there. And so now here I go into a village, you know, and you got these aspiring cathedrals sitting over there, which was built by slave labor. You know, and people were forced to go to these places at gunpoint. If they didn't, their families would be mutilated. And so that's not evangelism. That's torture. So I don't agree with you at all. Okay. At all. I don't believe your colonization methods are right. I believe Jesus is king. Are we clear yet?
Yes.
So then I go walking into a village, right? And you got your bead worshipers and you got your witch doctors, and they all have power with the devil. You understand? That power they got is real. It's just not the right one. And so you go in there, here I am, a white guy, and anybody that's ever come to them with the color of my skin's lied to them and stole from them. And so I go in there, which I'm not innocent, but I didn't do those things. And so I want to talk about how awesome Jesus is, right? And they're not going to listen to me because they think I'm there to take their women or their kids or their land or their gold or their whatever. Yeah, so you got to, there's a lot of obstacles you have to overcome that are man-made. And you do that by staying because you said God sent you. If that's true, then nothing can happen to you that can stop you.
Amen.
If God sent you, it don't matter what happens next.
Amen.
And it's going to get bumpy. Because everybody wants to know if God sent you. Angels do. Hell does. Demons. Everybody wants to know. And they're going to find out because they know how to manipulate humans. See, you come along and you get self-born again and you're full of energy and, you know, you got all this wild emotions going. And that only works for you. You try to impose that on someone else and they're going to laugh you out because nobody ever consistently stays in the power of God. 100% people fall out. Hello? If you go back through history and study it, if you would actually do that instead of just try to get a diploma. But if you would go back and study the move of God, the moves of God all the way back from Abraham up to current, you'll find out that there's only a handful of people that actually did what God said. Everybody else was rebellious. And you're the one sitting there in your heart saying, I'm not going to be rebellious. I'm going to do this, but you've got no proof. And when you stand up and say, I want to do this, nobody believes you. And that bothers you. And that's the beginning of your demise, is you allow people's opinion of you to bother you. That's where you start losing. You got to not be affected by what people say. And now that is hard because we're humans and we're emotional beings and so forth, right? Well, look, listen, how did we get God to come and raise the dead? Well, let me get you to answer that for me. What did we do that caused God to do that?
Faith.
All right, let's take faith. I'll accept that answer. That's a good enough answer because faith is the beginning of all of it. So what does faith lead you to do? What is it? What's your next step? All right, I got faith. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now what do we do?
Obey the word.
Obey the word. What does that look like?
Action.
What kind of action? I want you past all these cliches. You finding that out? I'm going to get you past them. What is after obedience? What do you do next? What does obedience look like? Explain to me how to be obedient.
Surrender.
How do I surrender? How?
Crucify the flesh.
How? There, finally, a solid answer. Fast. That's one of them. That's one of your tools. Prayer. That's another tool.
Doing God's will.
But how do you do that? You got to know the word of God to do God's will. That's right. Meditation. Praying in the Holy Ghost builds up a holy faith. Jude. I don't need cliches, okay? I don't want them. I want something that I can actually do with my feet.
Amen.
I don't want cute phrases.
Yeah.
I don't want you satisfying each other by some obscure Greek or Chaldean or Hebrewic word. I don't want that. I want to know how. Like, I was on my way to church one evening, and I'm actually out there doing the job. I'm going through a village. We have lots of villages that we are in now, over 1,000 of them, what I call the central work in Mexico. It's on the East Coast. And I'm going with, I got my nice fancy American four-wheel drive. I got my praise music going in the truck. I got my air conditioner going. In my world, it's awesome. Cause I actually have fuel to go to church. And then I get in a village and it's 105 degrees outside. But I got my little air conditioner going, so I'm safe. I'm in this little cubicle called the front end of a truck. And I'm comfortable. But then there's a guy standing there trying to stop me, and it turns out it's one of our pastors. And he says to me, "Help me, David." So I crack my window. You know, I don't want that heat in there with me. Is it okay if I tell the truth? Y'all okay with the truth?
Yeah.
Because the reason the world is not evangelized is because you like your comfort more than you like God.
Yeah.
And I disagree with you. And I'm going to be verbal about it. But I'm going to try not to abuse you. But I am going to tell you the truth. Somebody has to do the job, and it means getting out of a comfort zone. Because who you are, I am not against who you are. I bless you. I do not curse you. Let's get that sorted out. But you as Americans are 12% of the population, counting Europe and Australia and New Zealand and a few other nations, it's like you. Y'all are 12% of the population of the planet. But yet you think you have the right to tell everybody else how to live. Because you were fortunate to be born in a nation where you actually have some freedom. And you actually have a choice. You have what's called an opinion. But my question to you is, how's that going for you? You are so comfortable, you don't want that boat rocked, so you keep your opinion to yourself or to a couple of close friends. You notice last night I let my opinion out. I mean, I go after idols, demons, sacred cows, religious spirits. I will cut their throat in a heartbeat. I don't believe them. They are lies. And they are in place and in charge, and they are wrong. And it's our responsibility as the body of Christ to not fight the people, but to stand for God.
Amen.
Do you hear a difference?
Yeah.
See, you giving your opinion to somebody that don't believe like, and you know they don't believe like you, and you verbalize your opinion, what have you done except create a greater divide between you two? But can you stand there in the power of God and prove that what you're doing is right? You're supposed to be able to. You're supposed to be that born again believer that actually God uses. Instead of just somebody with a bunch of quick statements, quips and quotes. But you gotta be that, like this guy will stop me. I was so comfortable. I was enjoying my music. I still had an hour and a half before I'm gonna be at the place where I'm gonna do church. So I ain't gotta get out in the heat yet. Do you hear the crybaby part? And the man, I've been knowing this guy now for about 10 or 12 years. And he says to me, "I need you, David." So what happens to my world and my desires for the air conditioner whenever that man says, "I need you"? What's the next thing that happens?
Turn it off.
Blick, cut the key off. And you step out into the suffering like the rest of the humanity's doing. And you don't have an opinion about it. You're just grateful that God will let you do it.
Amen.
You keep a great attitude. And you can accept it. I told him, he asked me, what can I do for you, Brother Lee? He says to me, what can I do for you? Is there anything I can get for you? We want to, you know, bless you while you're here. And I just laughed at him. I said, I'm a missionary. I work in the mountains. I don't need anything. And I could have used that card. You understand? I could have played that card and got me some trinkets. You realize that, right? Why? They don't work. I got out of my truck. Immediately I was sweating. Immediately. I mean, it's 105 degrees and it's high humidity. It's going to pour out of you. All right. And I walk in this hut. It's a stick house with a grass roof. His entire house might be $10. There's no money, there's no profit, there's no reason for me to do this for personal gain. Are you understanding?
Amen.
All right. That doesn't make myself or my wife or any of us good people. So y'all believe in the good thing. I don't believe that. I believe in being right with God. And you accept that and live with it. And if you don't want to, it's not my fault. I'll see you. I'm going with God. I mean that. I don't want to be evil or mean to you, but I'm not playing the games that you like, that you think are all right. They're not okay. You are not getting healings. You are not very successful. And we got to overcome that. We got to figure out why we're not. What's the block? What's causing us to constantly lose? We got to figure this out instead of just be okay with, well, it's my cross, praise the Lord. Are you lying, demon? It's not your cross. It's a cross the demon put on you. Now we got to get it off us.
Amen.
I walk behind this guy. I've been with this guy for at least 10 years. He's a good man. He was an alcoholic, a wife abuser, incest, like everybody else where he was raised. And he found Jesus with us. His whole family got saved. Good people. Good folks. They're out there waiting on the gospel. Do you understand that? And yet we allow fear and comfort to stop us. So I walk in there. I couldn't believe when I walked inside there, because the little door, it's only this, you know, and I had to bend down to go in there. And I walk in, it takes a couple of minutes. There's no electricity. It's dark in there and it takes a minute or two for your eyes to adjust. And what I saw, I just couldn't believe it. There was a 14-year-old girl there, covered in banana leaves. And they're all crying. The mom, so our whole church was there. Everybody was crying. You know, and I'm looking at her. And I wonder what's under the leaves. I'm the guy that's not inhibited. I'll move the leaves to see what the problem is. Because the pain that was coming out of her, because she's a young girl. I've been there her whole life. I moved the banana leaves. I couldn't believe what I saw. There's a young girl there, 14. She is burned alive. You hearing? So what do you do next? Oh, brother, let's get a prayer chain going. Are you serious? Well, first of all, there's no cell service. How's that going to work? Excuse me? What do we do next? No, it's not anybody else to go to. I'm standing there. What do I do next? Yeah, I know I've got God, but what do I do? Yay! I mean, I can dance. Okay. What do you do?
Lay hands on her.
All of those people are believing that I have an answer. See, in this scenario right here where you don't have any responsibility and nobody gives a flying flip whether you actually take another breath or not, you need to understand what I just said to you. It's easy to have an opinion. But when you're the guy standing there and this young darling is dying, so they're in a hospital, it's 100 miles to the closest hospital and it's a butcher shop. My wife is under orders. If I wake up and I'm in that hospital, run. That thing, it ain't right. The closest burn center is probably, it ain't quite 200 miles, probably 170 miles. I'll never get her there in time. We got to have a different answer than believing in men's medicine. There's got to be, God's really got to be there. So I moved the banana leaves, threw them out. Do you remember in the Bible a few times where the old prophets laid on people? Do you remember the results of them? All right. Now, I don't consider myself to be one of those great men. I don't. But let me tell you who I am. I am a son of God. I don't believe that I have the right to call myself a Paul or an apostle or nothing like that. I don't care. You got that right? But God worked it out. You understand what that looks like for me to be standing straddled this kid. There ain't anybody to call. There's no way to call him in the first place. And nobody would come if I called him anyway. Do you feel that way? Just say yes.
Yes.
So what if we do what God said? What if we actually take the name of Jesus that is above every name, that all other names will bow eventually to the name of Jesus?
Amen.
What if we take that name out of desperation? Do you understand I was desperate?
Yeah.
That's right. And I knelt down, I laid on top of that kid. The smell, see what happened was she had a load of wood. They do firewood still. And she had gone out with a machete, cut a load of firewood. It wasn't probably 100 pounds of wood, but it's really awkward. Hey. And she's coming in, they strap it on their head, she's holding on to it. And what she didn't know that her brother had put a piece of wood across the threshold of the door, and she's coming into the house and she hit that thing with her foot and fell, and the load, the momentum of the load, because the fire normally is right in the middle of the hut. And she fell right on top of that fire. It burned her breast off. It's gone. It's gone. It's completely gone. Burned her all the way down, all the way across her right leg. I was looking at her ribs. Follow me or not? I'm looking at charred meat. Ribs, bones. And this baby, there's nowhere to get any drugs. There's nowhere to get any help. There's no one to call. All we have is Jesus.
Amen.
So I'm laying on this baby. And I honestly don't even know how to pray. I don't know what to say. Jesus, help. Because you're really sitting in this scenario right here. There's lots of things that are really quick quips and quotes. You can throw things at me. But I can take you in less than one day and have you where those things don't work. Where you actually need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You need mercy. You don't need more religion. You don't need a new pair of Hoka tennis shoes. You need mercy. And I laid on top of that baby and I spoke life into her. I prayed in tongues over her. I prayed in Indian over her. I prayed in Spanish over her. I just honestly went all, did everything I knew to do, which was nothing. And the next thing that happened was nothing. I stand up and now I got burnt meat stuck into my clothes. The smell, you can't get it off. The human flesh burnt, rotten. It's horrible. It changed me, y'all. God knows how to fix you. He knows how to adjust your comfort areas. Cause that baby was still the same, cause they put new banana leaves on her when I walked away. And they were still crying like before. Are you hearing me yet?
Yeah.
I felt horrible. Because I didn't see with my eyes what I knew God could do. I know He can do that. But yet I didn't see it. So I felt bad for her because I couldn't produce for her. What I was learning was my responsibility. It's my responsibility to seek God so that whenever I encounter someone hurt, broken, whatever the scenario, I can fix it. Because God will back me. It's my responsibility. I don't look to anybody else for responsibility for that. It's me. I'm the one that has to seek God. I'm the one that has to every day fast and call on the name of Jesus. Y'all are not going to like these terms, but my wife and I fast 8 months every year, minimum. You understand what I said to you just now? Every day I listen, like this morning I got up early and I was listening to the Bible. I listened to it in Spanish. This morning I got like 25 or 30 right in there, 27 maybe chapters in the Bible before I came here. As soon as I go home, I'll turn it back on.
Amen.
And I listen to the Word of God all day, every day. To do what I do, I have to have the power of God. To get the power of God, you got to go to the Word of God. Occasionally God will give someone and it looks like they had a shortcut of some kind. But the majority of us have actually got to do the job of seeking God. I went on to church. I was weeping out because I wanted her healed on the spot. That's called a miracle. I want a creative miracle to hit that girl and fix her because I loved her. I was there her whole life nearly. And there's nothing I could do for her. I was absolutely powerless. And that made me mad. And it hurt my feelings. But who's to blame? Who can I put the blame on? Boil it down. Think about it in your personal life. Who is the reject? Who is the one that is lazy? Go ahead and name them. It's us. It's me. I don't like this condemnation. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to show you what you're not doing. And I'm also here to show you what God can do. If you will do. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
All right, look. I went on to church, man, I was emotionally in it like I should be. I was calling out to God, man. I didn't care about the air conditioner anymore. I didn't care about the awesome music anymore. I just couldn't believe it. And then on the way home, we had church, and on the way home, there was somebody standing in the road at that village, and I have these big KC lights because there's rebel groups, and you will get shot. So you gotta be prepared. Try to avoid them if you can. And so I turn my lights all on, and it's that young girl. It's the one that was burned. And she's standing in that horse trail. So I come up on her, and I'm looking at her, you know, from inside my truck. And I get out, and I walk out there, and now she's got on her normal Indian clothes. She raised up her shirt, and she's still burned. No breasts. Ribs are still exposed. I said, well, how are you up? She said, about an hour after you left, this heat came in. And it took all the pain away, Brother David. And I said, and that appeased me some. That helped me a little with my emotions. But she's still maimed by the demon. Do you understand? The pain is gone. And I'm very grateful for that because she was really in a bind. And there's nothing I could do. I'm not going to go get some Percodan or some kind of coke. Because it's all out. I can get it. I mean, it's there. It's where they grow it. You know, the meth labs. I mean, they're all there. I can go right to them and buy them from the people. But then what do I start when I do that? Can I control it? How do you stop it once you start? There ain't no way. Outside of a miracle from God, you're busted if you start it. There ain't no fix if God don't fix it. No human way for it to work outside of God doing it. No such animal exists. So my choice is no. So that means I am left with one option. Mercy. So I went in the house. I turned my truck off and that went in the house. And I'm sitting there with these Indians, you know, and we're talking and she's just sitting there laughing and talking, but she's burned up. But the pain is gone and I'm very grateful. Now you have to understand I am, but I'm not satisfied. I'm not okay. Okay, well, you know, we got second best, but that's okay. We'll live with it. No, we won't. No, we won't. We are not second rate citizens of the kingdom of God. There is no such thing. We are sons of God is who we are. And the only thing left is restoration. So what does restoration look like? Tell me what restoration looks like. What does that mean to you? God restores. What does that look like?
Completely whole, nothing wrong anymore.
Right. When do you remember when Jesus was walking along the thing and this woman had suffered 12 years that bleeding, she was flooding for 12 years, right? And she said, "I don't want to bother the guy." So she fought her way through the crowd and just touched his garment. What happened to her? But what does the word say? Yeah, one of you said it. Who said it? She was made whole. All right. I actually studied that. What does whole mean? Okay, but look at this. Let me explain to you what Jesus said to her. Your faith has made you whole. You need to do a word study on that. Because that's different than healing. You know, Jesus said, who Satan has bound all this time, it took away all of her money. Remember, she went to the doctor and spent all she had, but what does it say? Rather grew worse. Right? All right. And then whenever Jesus touched her, or she touched Jesus, she was healed. But she wasn't just healed. Jesus said, your faith made you whole. So, and he didn't say that to very many people. So I want to know, what does that mean? Your faith made you whole. That literally means that everything that you lost in the process that hell took from you is restored to you.
Amen.
So what was taken from that lady? Her money, her time, her physical appearance. She was emaciated because of hell's power. So her faith, if I can just touch Jesus. Jesus turned and looked at her. I felt power go out of me. Who touched me? Peter and all of them are laughing at him. Are you serious? Dude, we're in a crowd. Everybody's touching you. But Jesus said, but one of you touched me with faith. Are you hearing the difference? And he looked at the lady. Your faith, dear. Because she come up trembling because she's healed. And she told him everything. She told him the truth. And what Jesus' response was awesome. Your faith made you whole. What he said to her was, all the money that you lost is yours back. Who's going to give it to her? Think about it. What does your Bible say? When a thief comes, he has to return how many times?
Seven.
So what Jesus told her, you're fixing to be rich because his faith just did it for you. That is if you believe the Bible. And I happen to be one of those that do. All right. So I didn't know all this yet when I'm messing with this girl. Honestly, I didn't. I didn't know how it all correlated, how it worked together. I didn't know that yet. I just know I wasn't satisfied with the pain gone. Pain gone means her body's on the mend. She will probably heal, but it'll be all scarred. She won't have a breast and all of that. Right? You with me or not? Okay. So I went in there and we had some little, they have these little cookie things and we drank, they grow our own coffee. So we sit down drinking coffee and eating these cookies and that. And we talked till probably 2 a.m. They were so excited that the pain was gone. And the pastor says to me, thank you. I said, no. No. He said, what do you mean no? What do I mean no? And I reached over and pulled her blouse up. I said, look at her. How's she going to have babies? How are they going to eat? Her breast is gone. I said, we're having that back.
Amen.
And the pastor, just as blunt, he goes, you ever seen that before? I said, nope. And my question to him was, have you ever seen anybody burn like this, the pain left? He said, nope. I said, there you go. It seems to me like we're on a good trail. Seems like it's the right trail. But how do you get further down the trail? It isn't cliches. It isn't praise the Lord on the head and not the tail, praise God. And the whole time you're the butt of the thing being drugged through hell. And you know that. But yet out of your mouth you still call yourself the head, not the tail, and yet you're the butt going through hell. Well, that's irritating. I don't like that. That is not who we are.
Amen.
We are sons of God, and we gotta figure out something has to work. There has to be a plan. There has to be a road we can walk that actually functions.
Amen.
So I told him, let's do 14 days of fasting. And let's do it the minimum of 4 hours a day. Every one of us that's here, his whole family was there, there's a bunch of us. I said, let's do a minimum of 4 hours a day. Whatever, how early that looks like, whatever we have to do to get up earlier, it doesn't matter. Adjust yourself to try to meet God. Pastor goes, done. I said, we start now. So we did. So it's probably a month later, I was out in that area again. I come rolling through, and I don't remember, I pray for, you have no idea how many people we pray for in a day's time. You saw last night, I pray for hundreds. Some days I pray for thousands, really. And you can't remember everybody's, now everybody's important. But you can't remember everybody's details. That is not what you're supposed to do. I'm not supposed to be a socialistic human being. I'm supposed to be a son of God and walk in the Holy Ghost. And you socialites, your thing don't work. So I've watched you. It's irritating how you really believe that you're awesome because you have people on Facebook. What's wrong with you? Ah, dude. So I go back to the village, and all of a sudden the pastor's out there, and so I stop. Same story. Air conditioner's going. Music's going. I crack my window. What do you want? We want you. I go walking in there, and there was a little table. Man, that thing had like 7 different kinds of Indian food on it. You don't know, so I'm not going to tell you. And I have to eat it. So I'm sitting there. I start eating and they bring more food and more. I mean, that table, my Lord, it had some of the best food. Man, it was awesome. But it was just way too much. And so I eat and eat and eat till I just couldn't eat anymore. And they kept bringing more and more of their food. And I said, dude, stop. Just stop. He said, it's not us. I said, well, whoever it is, tell them to stop making food. I can't eat anymore. I'm going. Va a haber vomito. I will be vomiting. And so, pastor sitting there, biggest smile you ever saw. Well, he couldn't hardly, I don't know how he contained what he did. I said to him, what is this? He said, it's from my daughter. I said, where is she? I haven't seen her. Well, she's the one who cooked all this for you. I said, I want to see her. Because that let me know there was something else up. Because they don't put that kind of money out. They don't have it. It ain't available. And then she walked in, the most beautiful, radiant, and I'm looking at her. Something's wrong with her. I mean, she's different. And she walked right up to me, pulled her blouse up. I just went, are you serious? 2 14-year-old breasts, beautiful, not even a scar. Completely healed. I said to myself, self, I like this kingdom of God. I saw with my eyes what it means to be made whole. God restored that beautiful. Now she's a pastor's wife. She's got babies. She's one of my people. You know, she's one of my daughters. She's a good girl. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Don't you think that's awesome?
Yes.
See, there's a way to go past the cliches. There is a part of God that we're missing because we're satisfied, because we're comfortable. But when God works it out for you to get out of your comfort zone, and responsibility actually gets a grip on you, you have to do it. You're actually forced to seek God. You hearing me or not?
Yes.
All right, let's do a couple Bible verses. I wanted to tell you that. That was bugging me. Let's go back over to Hebrews 11. I have to start there every time. I don't have to, but heaven asked me to, so it's probably a good idea. Now, y'all remind me tonight, if y'all let me come back, that is. remind me about, there's a miracle happened called El Niño de Uli. El Niño de Uli, a rubber child. Remind me about that, will you? I want to share that with the whole bunch. It's a creation thing. All right? So, Hebrews 11, 1. Y'all there? First three words? First three words? First three words? Excuse me. The first three words? That's right. Now, when I got there and I moved those banana leaves, did I need a $100,000 check? Did I need a new truck?
No.
Did I need a meal?
No.
Did I need some new tennis shoes or hiking boots or cowboy boots or whatever I wanted? Did I need new blue jeans? What did I need? I needed a breast. I needed ribs healed. And I needed no scarring. I need this baby where she can go continue life, what we call normal. Hear me?
Yes.
But you don't have any history of that. You don't have any experience. But what do you have? You have Jesus. You have Jesus. So today's a good day to start experience. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Now faith is assurance. I'm going to read it to you, the whole verse. Confirmation. Say it. I need that confirmation thing.
I need that
confirmation. Title deed. See, without faith, you don't own the property. It's not yours. You can't build because you're building on somebody else's foundation or property. If you don't get faith, if you don't get the title deed in order, whatever you're doing is useless. In Amplified, it says title deed. I am an heir. Say it.
I am a joint heir. I'm a joint heir.
With Christ. Say it. That's who I am.
That's
why the title deed is mine.
That's why the title deed is
mine.
Everything heaven has
is mine.
Is mine.
And see, that's not a cliche. That is literally the truth.
Amen.
It's in my hands. What, Brother David, I don't believe that. I know. I know that about you. You're what's called an unbeliever.
Come on.
That's simple.
Come on.
You see it? You see, I got this sorted out, right?
Yeah.
People look at me, I mean good people that they say, I love Jesus. And then I'll start talking about miracles and they'll just blink and go, that ain't possible. And I just look at them. You're right. In your world, it's true because you're an unbeliever.
Right.
You know what Jesus calls unbelievers? Condemned and damned.
Amen.
You heard them words before? No. Because people want your money, so they tell you soft stuff, so you'll give good money. But what does the Bible actually say? What did Jesus say? Yeah, not about money. What do you say about unbelievers? Yeah, that's a true verse. What do you say in Mark 16? You are condemned. So, your choice. See, I choose to be a believer. I don't want God's condemnation on me. I prefer you being angry with me than God condemning me. So I'm going to believe. And what does that look like? That looks like getting to this young girl, laying down on top of her with zero experience. You've never even heard of anybody getting this kind of a miracle before. But yet you still look at God and say, I want this. Well, we got it. I don't know why he gave it to us. I honestly don't know that answer for you. I just do know that we got it, and I'm pleased. How about that? Because it is our title deed.
Yes.
We own this.
Yes,
well, you don't know me. I'm not worthy. I'm a dog. Praise the Lord. I'm a worm. Those verses are in there, actually. But they are pre-blood covenant. You never heard any of that in the New Testament. Any one of the apostles that preached of the goodness of Christ in us, the hope of glory. It was all, we're not, I'm not a dog. I apologize to you. You can believe you are. You can be called an unbeliever. That's your business. I have decided Jesus is King. You there? All right, let's jump down to verse 2. Hebrews 11:2. It's by what? It's amplified here. It says faith, trust, holy fervor, born of faith. Men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a what? You need a testimony. What when people look at you, boom. What do they see? Who do they see? That's what they're supposed to do. But it's not what they get. They get a broke down loser. Why? What's the matter? What's wrong with us? Dude, you believe the negative report. Stop it.
Amen.
But I've lost. What you're telling me is you're a human? Is that what you just said to me? And we all lose? What your loss is greater than the word of God? Is that what you just said to me? It's not. You choose to elevate your emotional crisis above the power of God. Well, I choose not to. I do. I don't like it. Now, right here I'm going to tell you a really sad story. Is that okay? We are raising the dead. We are healing the sick. We are the blessed of the Lord. I'm getting, it's not 100%, but it's close. Man, I'm telling you, snake bites. There are limbs growing out in people. I watched, I don't know, 5 lepers with arms, legs missing, grow them back. What do you think? How do you think that makes me feel? I mean, how do you think, as a human, my emotions are going about them? You're going. You're pretty enthusiastic. You hear me? And I got invited to Australia to some big campaigns over there. So I told my wife, "All right, I'm gonna go." I picked a team, and we went. We was over there probably a month. I mean, sold, people getting up out of wheelchairs, blind, deaf. It is awesome. I'm thinking, this is good. I mean, people are getting saved by the dozens. I'm liking this. It's hard to being away from the family. It's hard doing the traveling, all those things, yes. But the power of God is with us. And then we went to Adelaide, which is on the south central part of Australia. And they carried me 8 hours out in what's called the outback or the bush. I don't know how y'all terminology is. And we was out there, right? And God brought these guys in No phones, no computers. The Holy Ghost spoke to these chiefs out in the outback, and they walked, some of them 2 weeks. Do you understand how awesome this is spiritually? And then my wife got through to one of the pastors I was with there in Australia. On they call it a mobile, it's a cell phone. And there's no service. But my wife got through. And it was emergency status. It was 2:00 in the morning, Australian time, which is the middle of the day over here, back 24 hours. Man, I went to a phone. I called her. What do you need, Miss Hogan? One of the guys with me, his wife was murdered. Okay. What'd that do to my little bubble? Does anybody know? Excuse me? The guy's in there asleep. We have seen God move like few humans have. And his wife is dead. And my wife sat in the middle of the interstate holding her for this dead woman, 25-year friend. Is that strong enough for you? And my wife's holding this woman, and the Texas State Police blocked the interstate for her and let her pray. Amen. Go Texas. That was awesome. Yeah, I'm gonna have to give them a little credit. That was pretty nice. Cause I went and saw them later. Told them how much I appreciated it. You know what the captain of the Texas State Troopers told me when I went and saw him? He said, "We know y'all." See, this is our testimony. In other words, what kind of testimony do people, when they look at you, what do they see? That lieutenant that was actually doing that murder, he just told my wife, "You pray, I'll get this." Real good looking young man. You know, this is awesome, isn't it? In the middle of miserable, awesome is happening. Well, after 2 hours, the lieutenant comes and tells my wife, "Miss Hogan, we got to open this interstate." Now, I worked it out with the coroner. "We're going to take her to this morgue, and you and all your people can come and pray for her as long as you want." Now, that's, here again, go Texas. That's an awesome, they believe us. Something we've done, and we've never done that before. But something about our testimony, they believe us to be a positive help for the community. That they would go to those limits for us. That's an awesome testimony. I like that. Tell you the truth. But now I'm in Australia. Now my wife is freaked out. You know what she said to me? "If you'd have been here." See, condemnation is trying to set up camp in my wife's spirit. Cause if you'd have been here, David, she'd have come back. And I told her, "Not so. You are a daughter of Zion. You did your best. That's all that's required of you. The results are not yours." And you live with it. You in this room, you hear me. Your responsibility is obedience to God. The results are God's. Do you understand that?
Amen.
It'll help you if you'll hear me. So, one of the hardest things I've ever done, I went and woke this guy up, and it's 2:30 in the morning. And we're in a foreign place, and nothing is comfortable. And I go, "Man, I don't know what to say to you." He said, "Tell me out straight. You've always told me the truth. I said, fine. Your wife is dead. He hit me. Gosh, that hurt. But listen to me. Sometimes people just need somebody to hit. And you need to let it be you. And you don't take it personal. You gotta grow up. People get offended and get hurt. And you gotta accept that and not take it personal. I almost went clean through the wall. I did knock a hole in the wall. I mean, he hit me hard. I come out of there, buddy, and I grabbed a hold of him because he's going to hit me again. I grabbed him. And I just held on, and we fell on the ground, and we're bawling. And what you do whenever this thing happens, that's what you do.
Yeah.
And you hate it. Because of what we've just seen, what was just happened last night, the miracles. And this is our pay? So, how y'all like this? You don't like this. Well, let me tell you something. I would rather look at you and tell you how it's really going to be than you find out that I lied to you after a while. Just because I was trying to get some money or some friendship or something. Who knows what? Truth is better. So watch this. I went to the pastors are all with me, the Australian guys, and they're all bawling with us. And they go, David, we release you. We'll fix this. You come back at a later date. I said, all right, I'll get him home. I left the Australian outback, which should have taken me about 35 hours to get back to Texas, where our office is. Took us 72 hours. Every jet we got on broke down on the tarmac. Listen, this thing turned against us. We're in a full-on God doing, we're almost 100% to this kind of loss. That's a little bit bewildering. That is confusing. So what do you do? I fought my way through. I got us home. My goal was to get to Ms. Hogan. Do you understand that? She's hurt. She's critical. Her mind ain't right. She's tripping out over what she couldn't do. It was her friend, 25 years. They suffered together in the mission field. And now she can't even help her when she needs her. Yeah, you get it. I know you get it. Yeah. I got home finally and I walk up to my wife. She grabs hold of me. Do you understand? She buried herself. She went into me deep. She had a hold of me. And I'm just crying and trying to calm her down, trying to tell her it's God. It's God. It's not us. And all of a sudden somebody grabbed me on my shoulder and I'm telling you, you ain't taking me away from Ms. Hogan. Somebody's supposed to get a butt whooping. You understand? This ain't gonna happen. But it's the guy that lost his wife. He said, you're going with me and you're gonna raise my wife from the dead. So what do you say? You just take a deep breath. And this is what I said. Look, I've been on a jet for 72 hours and I'm going in here and I'm gonna take a bath. You give me 30 minutes. It ain't going to make a difference. And we hadn't eaten anything. We've been fasting. So we're ready. You follow me? I went up to the morgue. I told a guy, I said, look here, because I know these guys. I said, I want her. I want her out here right now. We're going to raise her from the dead. They go, fine, fine. You got to give me a few minutes. Get her ready. And then he comes out and he tells me, he says, look, you don't need him to see her. We've done our best, but she ain't like she was. She, it wasn't good what happened to her. I said, all right. So I go out there and I tell him, look, you're a grown man and you're emotionally, I don't know where you are on the chart. There ain't one for you. You're goofy. I mean, you, but it'd be better for you to remember her as you left her than as she is in this coffin. He said, fine, but you bring me my wife. Now, I don't know if you understand that kind of pressure or not. But I'm not backing down. Because you don't know she won't get up out of there. I have seen it. I have experience that they do. But I'm not, we're only like 10% with dead raisins. We've prayed for like 5,000 something people and only got back like 500 of them. Now 500 is a big number until you put it up against the amount that didn't come back. So my confidence, cause she don't have any guts anymore. But that's still okay.
Amen.
I'm still gonna try. Do you understand how awesome it'd be? I come out with her and my aunt, oh jeez. So I go in there and I laid on top of her in that coffin. I didn't get her back. I apologize to y'all. All of y'all in here. I was in there an hour. And I did not win. And I don't like it. And it feels bad to me. And I walk outside and there's the family, you know, and the dad, he and I have been together for a long time, 20, 26 years or so. He said, where's my wife? I said, I am not successful. Smash, he hit me again. I picked myself up and went back over there. I said, do what you got to do. I'm sorry, but I will get better. Are you hearing what I'm telling you or not?
Yeah.
You either want the truth or you don't. I don't know what you want, but I'm going to give you the truth. And the truth is you don't always win. And sometimes you think you should. Clear?
Yes.
So what do you do now with these people with this loss? Because the dead, they're in the best place they could be. If they truly love Jesus, they got it. We're the ones, in our best state, we're suffering horrible penalties compared to them. If we believe in heaven. If we believe in Jesus. If we believe what the Bible says. Right or wrong? All right, so it's us. We're the problem. Problem is right here. It's not them. It's our failure to succeed. Our inability to believe God good enough to get what we want. Fair enough? How's the truth feel? I'm telling you, we need to seek God. So I did. I started seeking God more. I mean, him crying all night long and me having to stay up with him, his wife gone, and it was a violent way. It was, none of it's okay. And we started doing services again, and I mean, it was hard on us. I don't know what to say to y'all. And then my phone rings again. Do you understand the phone is not going to stop ringing? I tell you, I hate these things. They are not awesome to me. Because I'm the guy that gets the bad news. And a while ago I started getting phone calls. I told them, excuse me, I've got to take that. Because I know it's coming. People need you. Because when they don't call you, that means everything's better. And phone rings. It's one of my elders. I need you, Brother David. I said, what's the matter? his son-in-law, one of our most amazing, gifted, this boy, God, he was awesome, preacher. They just dumped him off in his front yard with two bullets behind the ear. Blew his brains out. Okay, this is getting rough now. I couldn't get her back, so now we attack this one. This is one of my sons, one of my main pastors. His brains are blown out. Cartels. So what do? You don't know, see? Best just to be quiet. Thank you. I do know what to do. You roll in there and you bind the demon. Because you don't know. You lost last time, but you don't know if you're going to lose this time. And you pray 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 8 hours, 9, 10, 11. All of a sudden one of the elders looks up and looks at you right in the eyes. Bury him. No. I don't want to. He's my friend. So you go dig the hole and you put him in the ground because you can't do it. You with me or not?
Yeah.
So now you're going to start making choices. Am I going to get angry? Who do I get angry at? God? Men? Demons? I mean, what do I do? Do I arm myself? Do I go get these cartel people? These people that murdered our friend, the lady. Do I go and do what the husband wants and kill them all? What do you do? You have to stand, and haven't done all to stand. What's next?
Stand.
You stand firm in the gospel, not in the emotional run of a human mind. Do you? Hello? And just when you thought this is enough, 8 days go by. And I go in my house. I got back from preaching the gospel. And I walk in my house. All of my kids are there. These are all grown people with their own families. And I went to each one of them. And I look them in the face. You good? Yeah. And I was satisfied that everybody was healthy. And it was early. It was 9:30 at night. I don't ever get to go to bed early. I went to bed. I went upstairs. I turned the air conditioner on. Thank you, God, for air conditioner. And I laid down on that big old king size bed. I thought to myself, self, this is the will of God. And the next thing I know, somebody's pulling on my foot. It was my daughter, Crystal. She's the oldest one, oldest daughter. She's pulling on my toe. Dad. You know, and I went down about that far into that mattress. I mean, I was gone. What? Mom needs you. And I go, why? She needs you right now. And this is what I told my daughter. After you've been married as long as I have, you can say these statements. I told my daughter, it's the same distance from her to me as it is from me to her. In other words, I was liking that bed and that air conditioning. Then my son-in-law broke through the door. That was my first time to see that. He was panicking. My oldest daughter's husband, Brother David, Miss Hogan needs you right now. And I looked at him. All right. I didn't even put my hat on. Mistake. I go down. I ain't even got my boots on, man. All I got on is my blue jeans, and I go walking down there, and Miss Hogan, she was coming. Y'all, her little old quiet thing that I pick on all the time, that ain't who she is, buddy. She is a gun-toting redneck, and she will shoot you. I know what she looks like. You better not mess with that one. That's just good advice. And I know y'all don't take good advice, but... So she put her finger. Now look, I don't like this. Here comes Ms. Hogan's finger in my face. Boy, I've learned something over 45 years of marriage. That ain't what you want. That woman put her finger in my face. She said, my grandbaby is dead. I said, say what? And I looked past her on the supper table over there. And that little old baby wasn't moving. And I looked at my wife. What do you say to your wife? My two priors are losses. Her best friend, I couldn't bring back. One of my best pastors, we lost him. So what do you tell your wife? When all around you is loss. Y'all getting this yet? You think you're the only one? Wake up. This is what I said to my wife. I'll do my best. That's all that you're charged to do. But you are charged to do at least that. This sloppy, agape, complacent lying demon. That ain't God, y'all.
Amen.
We're to be on fire. And whether you succeed or not, ever. What did three Hebrew boys tell that king? I don't know if God's going to or not. He can. But if he don't, I'm still not bowing.
Yes.
Now that's the attitude. You get that. Whether you're talking to a king or your wife, it's all the same. I'll do my best, but I'm not bowing. Whether I win or lose is not the value. The value is Jesus is king.
Amen. Glory to God.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
And I'm telling you the truth. And I walk over there here's my view as I'm walking up. I'm still a little groggy from the bed, right? Because I went in pretty deep. And oh boy, it was a good sound sleep. And I look over there and there's the mom on the floor. That's where she's supposed to be. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
She's supposed to be broken. Her baby's dead. That is legal. She's on the floor. She's freaking out. Tears, puddle of tears. There's nothing she can do. What can you do? You've done everything. You bore the baby. You've taken care of the baby. But now she's dead. So what do you do next? I stepped toward the child, another step, and then the dad, my son, stepped right. He touched my nose. Do you understand how close he was? I don't like people that close to me. No, Ms. Hogan gets away with it because of this right here. And he's looking at me. He's broken. He's a dad. He could not stop the death. He said these words to me. Please help me. I just reached up and touched his face. You saw me do it last night to several people. I just reached up and touched their face. Because I'm going to do my best. This demon has had its day. We're going to beat it in Jesus' name. And whether I live or die, it's not the relevancy. Jesus is king. I need you to get this. If you don't start taking it serious and you don't apply yourself with what God's given you, it's your fault. Live with it. And I'm not condemning you. I'm encouraging you. We got this. We can do this. Well, I get over to the baby and I'm not a doctor, but I'm a grandpa. And I'm a good one. And I went all over. I took the clothes off that baby and just left the diaper and I'm looking for just the faintest heartbeat would be all right. There ain't any. Little thing is limp, you know, and I pinched its little skin, tried to get a reaction out of it, and I did all sorts of stuff. It's dead. there was a nurse come running in. She said, look here, we got a call. I said, shh. We're not calling anybody. I'll tell you when you can call the coroner. This is my house. If you can't believe God with me, get out.
Amen.
We're going to give God an option. Because you don't know he won't. Now, the last two I've tried, I lost. Do you hear me? And they were important people to me. How's grandbaby? Is that close enough? I flipped that little old foot up and it just went, God. So I said, what do you do? How do you pray? What do you pray? You don't know. Neither do I. You just scream and cry and cuss and spit and help me, Jesus. And so I started walking around that table. Every time I'd go by, I'd flip that little foot. Jesus' name. And I'd go speaking in tongues and crying. Jesus. That went on for like an hour and a half, so. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, y'all. I don't have any answers for this. But I flipped that little foot in the air and it stayed up. And I went, said, what? And then the next thing you know, the little thing started moving. I'm going, oh my God, we got her back. And then she took that breath. And then that little quivering thing they do. And I picked her up and I kissed her. Thank you, heaven. I don't know what to say to you. I don't know why it worked that time and didn't other times. But I'm very grateful for Miss Hogan. And the mom. And the boy. And then the mama stands up. The one that's been on the floor crying the whole time. So what do you do with the baby then? What did Jesus do to, what did Elijah do? What all these men of God do when the babies came back? They give them to their mother. So it must be something in that that's right. So that's what I do. I don't know why, but all them other guys did it, so I do it. I gave the baby back to the mama. She just freaking out. She said, how'd you do that? I said, I didn't. I don't know how it happened. I just know this. Jesus is King.
Yes.
Now, is everybody else okay?
Yes.
And they go, yeah. Now I'm going to go to bed. Now don't bother me this time. After about a couple of hours, the baby stabilized. The nurses were there and everything's okay. Are y'all hearing me or not?
Yes.
So I've told you loss and I've told you success. But what you got to hear from me, it's not about friendship or family. It's about faith. It's about longevity, walking it out regardless of what your eyes see. You with me?
Yes.
All right. Now, I got time for one or two questions. Who's it going to be and what's it going to be?
How do we fast?
How do you fast?
How do we fast?
I can tell you how I fast. First 40 days of every year, we fast. And then every other day from then on afterwards. Nothing.
Water only or no water?
Well, that's a good question. That's the right question. Because y'all try to figure out how to get out of the fast. You come up with these Daniel things, which all of it's bogus. All of it's a lie. If you want God, you go lay down and hang on to his shoes till he comes. You don't try to figure out how to blend a T-bone up and liquefy it. And then throw in a pint of ice cream on top of it. Dummies. That's not the answer. The answer is Jesus. Now look, this stuff is dangerous. I'm one of the serious people. Every time we fast, the last 10 days, I do no intake whatsoever, not even water. Did you hear me? And I have never died. God has protected me and He accepted us and so forth. And then down through this year, we got another couple of 10 days coming up down through that where we'll just stop. I just stop. And I sit in a chair, turn my Bible on. No phones, no internets, no computers. Jesus. That's how we fast. And we pray. We pray for, I have a thing that I made up over the last 35 years. It takes about 8 hours to pray it. It's an amazing way to get a hold of God. It works. There's 127 principalities that I have faced personally in my life, and we know how to bind them, and so we do that. One at a time. It's a real complicated, it takes a minute. It's not for the weak. It's for the strong. And I'm not talking about physical, I'm talking about spiritual. For those who truly are after the mercy of God. The fly-by-night jokers, they're not going to be around long. You ain't got to worry about them. Just laugh it off and move on. They're not going to be there tomorrow. But I will be.
Could we get a hold of what you...
There you go. No, ma'am. Don't you see there's not a table here with junk on it? There's a reason for that. Because I disagree. I don't believe in merchandising the gospel no matter what it looks like. What you got in your hands is the answer. There's your answer. Dig it out. Nugget by nugget. Stay with it. It will come to you. My Bible says that the Spirit of life will guide you into all truth. That's what my Bible says. I'm a good example. My wife is, our family, our team. We are. We've got some stuff, a couple of things figured out that works. It works. Guess where I'm going to be in 3 weeks?
Preaching the gospel.
In Yemen. Guess where I'm going from Yemen? Bahrain. Guess where I'm going from Bahrain?
Mecca.
No. I would if I got the right invitation. But we're going from Bahrain to Bangkok, Thailand. Ask me what I'm going to do in Bangkok.
What are you gonna do?
I'm going to buy some sex slaves.
Come on.
Woo! They're going to be my property. How else are you going to get them free than to go there and buy them, get a title for them, and then take them out? Okay. You are now free. And here's some money to go live on. What about that, huh? There's actually people doing it. I don't want to say to you. I know I'm not famous. I don't want to be. I don't do that. I do Jesus. Clear enough?
Yeah.
Any more questions?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
I seen some joint twins on TV. So I asked God, when are you going to start separating? He's able to do it.
I believe he could.
Could you imagine that?
I can't imagine that.
Well, he can, but I don't have faith. But I did.
Jesus' name. Yes, ma'am. I don't know that answer. But I do know that because I don't have never seen it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Anybody else?
What would you say if someone started in ministry?
Run. I'm not joking. Dude, it's rough. Lots of people get around me and they want to punch a card in 40 hours a week. I get 40 hours first day sometimes. You gotta give up your rights and take on God's rights. Seek God. Don't let nothing get in the way of that. See, we are quote unquote successful now. We have, I don't know, close to 7,000 churches. There's, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people. Lots. I work with another group that's got over 100,000 churches. That's like 7 million people or something, 6 million. It's a big deal. And so if I wanted to just chill out now, write books, make money, I could do that. But I'm still healthy. Look at me. You see me? I'm running 31.2 miles next Saturday. Not this one, but the next one. I'm healthy. So I think I'll just stick with the program a minute. Just carry it another level. On purpose. Sit down and think about it. Don't take options because they're beneficial to you. Take options because God asked you to.
Amen.
There's a very famous fella, I'm not going to tell you his name, that pulpit right there won't allow me to call names. But he's a very famous fella. Picked me up in his limousine. They put me in a 5-star presidential suite in New Orleans. Ms. Hogan and I have never seen anything like it before. We come from a jungle, from Indians. He put me in a 5-star suite, picked me up in a limousine. I should have known, shouldn't I? But I didn't. I was caught up in the awesome. I was, wow. Brought me to a meeting with some lawyers. They presented me with a $7 million check and a contract. And I go, $7 million? I don't care what's in that contract. I'll do this. $7 million? I can lie to them. Easy. I carried that thing back to the room where my wife was. I'll go in there. Because Miss Hogan, I'm telling you, she's nervous. I mean, you don't approach her. I know she looks like a little grandma. She's dangerous. She's got the Holy Ghost, buddy. That woman is on fire. And you see my respect for her is quite healthy. And I set that thing down there and I showed her the $7 million. I said, mine and your life is done. We are millionaires. And she just looked at me. She never even looked at that check. You know what she said to me? I'm out. I said, no, look, we got to think about this. I said, it's $7 million, Miss Hogan. She said, I don't care. She said, never will I put another man's logo on me. I am bought with the blood of Jesus. I said, Miss Hogan, listen to me. She said, no, I'm not. I'm not going to listen to you. She said, I will help you. I'll wash your feet. I'll do whatever it takes for our marriage to be successful. But I ain't doing this. You can do it. I'm not. I said, then it ain't legal. So I carried the money and that's mine. I'm sorry. Hear it? Really sounds nice, don't it? I have the thing cut off. I don't know how they got through. So I carried that thing back to this fella, the check. You know what he said? You're a foolish punk. And I go, okay, 1 minute you're in a limousine and they put you in a presidential suite and you're an awesome guy. The next minute you're a foolish punk. Ms. Hogan was right. So be careful. It's better. What did Moses say? What did he say in Hebrews about Moses? He chose to suffer with the children of God and live in the king's palace. Be careful with your choices. That's good advice. Go for it. Be on fire. Be a blessing. You know, God don't care how many vehicles you got. Trucks. I got trucks. Oh my gosh. I got stuff. People just call me up. Here, we want to buy you a truck. Okay. You can buy me a truck. As long as there ain't no strings on it.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, that's legal. As long as I can preach the gospel. Yeah. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. First thing is this. You got to get where it's quiet. You got to remove the racket out of your life. And you understand what that means because you're old enough. You actually have to get somewhere where there's no demand on you at all. Where you can actually hear him. And sometimes it takes a minute. You have to sit there for a minute sometimes. But he will talk. He normally, for me personally, it's within a 12 days to 2 week range for me. I'll designate 30 days or 21 days or 40 days. And usually around somewhere between 12 and 14 days, God speaks to me audibly, normally. Not always, but sometimes it's impression, sometimes it's in my mind. Sometimes it's some kind of a download and I'll go and write it down on paper. But he does speak. But you have to get where you can hear him. Because if you're busy, your care is about something else. That's good advice. Yes, sir. Well, it's time for us to stop. Thank y'all for y'all's patience and hearing and listening. Would y'all please stand? Let me pray with y'all. Holy Ghost. You're welcome. In the name of Jesus. Just lift your hands to God and tell him, I want this stuff, Holy Ghost. I want to be who you use, God. Say it. In Jesus' name. I call on your mercy.
I call on your grace.
Let us do it, Father.
In Jesus' name.
Shalaba. Thank y'all. See, I'm on time. Look at that. 2 minutes to spare. God bless you, baby. See? First thing is you got to be obedient. People say 12, they mean 12.
Praise the Lord.
I don't go past.
Amen. How many have been blessed?